And let's give you a very warm welcome. Last Sunday, 2024, so we'll give you a very warm welcome to our Sunday service. It's good to see you all here. Let's just hear, before we sing our first carol, let's hear the word of the Lord. We've heard this verse quoted, I'm sure, this passage quoted many times, I'm sure, over this last month, but I'll read it again. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude in the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's rise and sing together. Then hark the herald angels sing, "Glory to the newborn King." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us, for this special time of the year, which speaks to us as Christians of the time when you sent your Son to be the Saviour of mankind. And we thank you that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Without Christ, there would be simply no hope at all. But thank you, Christ has come and lived and dwelt amongst men. And he offered up his life freely for sinners like us. And he died on the cross at Calvary. He's risen from the dead, he's alive forevermore. Thank you for the plan of salvation, and all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for your grace to fallen mankind, Lord. All that we have is because of you. Thank you for so great salvation to all of you. Cleanse us of our sin, cleanse us of our pride, we pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank you for the work and witness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for the preaching of the gospel over this Christmas time across different meetings and places throughout our town and community and indeed throughout our land. Thank you for all those that were here on Tuesday night. It's good to see the church full, Lord. We pray and long that all those who are present, young and old, from the youngest to the oldest, would come to know and to personally trust in the one who came at Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. May they come to know him as Saviour and Lord. We pray you'd work in people's hearts and lives in these days that we're living in. Lord, speak to us afresh from your word as we look at your word this morning. And Lord, be with those who are not able to meet with us today. Some may be away seeing family, some may be laid aside through ill health. We know there's lots of bugs and flus and things going around just now. We just pray for a healing touch for the sick and strengthen those. We pray, be with those who are not able to be here this morning, and those who are housebound. We pray you'd minister to them, and whatever their state of body and state of mind, let them know your love for them, we pray. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for all your goodness, your grace, and your mercies to us. Bless our time together, Lord. Bless our service today. Speak to us afresh, and may we know it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In a moment, we'll gather around the Lord's table. Of course, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it's a chance to remember what our Saviour has done for us and all he's done for us on our behalf. But let's sing, before we come to the Lord's table, let us sing another carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's rise and sing together. Thank you. we come around the Lord's table, let me read some familiar words from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon, these are words you're more likely to have sung, be more familiar with singing rather than reading. I'll read these words. Song of Solomon 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I don't know if you've been in a banqueting house over the Christmas time, if you enjoyed a banquet, at least, at the very least, a Christmas dinner. But the Song of Songs, I wonder how often you read that book. Have you read it this year? It's part of your Bible readings. It's a song about, it's a song. It's about two lovers. But the Old Testament points forward to the coming of the Saviour, to Christ. Sometimes Christ is more explicitly revealed in parts of the Old Testament. We'll be looking at one such passage in a few moments this morning. Sometimes he's perhaps not so clearly revealed. But the Song of Songs is a song about two lovers, but it points forward to the relationship between Christ, the groom, and we, his church, the bride. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Just take a moment to reflect on that verse. Who brings us to the house? Who brings us into the banqueting house? He brought me. He brought me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he bring us into the banqueting house? By his death on the cross. He came into the world to save sinners at Christmas time, but by his death on the cross, he obtained blessings for his people. Only he could do it. What do we find when we're in the banqueting house? Many blessings. Assurance of salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Paul says in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have the righteousness, not just forgiveness of sins, sins forgiven, but Christ's righteousness imputed to us, put onto our account. And then we know his abiding presence with us. We know his fellowship. How do we know his fellowship? What can we do to enjoy his fellowship? God has given us many things. He's given us his word. We have access into his presence through prayer because of what Christ has done for us. He gives us two sacraments that we're commanded to obey. Remembrance at the Lord's Supper. The other sacrament is baptism. It's been a pleasure to baptize, be involved in baptizing somebody earlier this year, just a few weeks ago, in fact, and even to see people being baptized. But we're commanded to be baptized. It's a command of the Lord. Sacraments, then. We know his presence. Even though, the psalmist says, even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And it's not just his presence in this life, but the psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that leads on, there's the knowledge of his presence and his fellowship now, but there's also hope now and forever in this life and the life to come. It's a hopeless world. It's much to scare people in these days, but there's hope in Christ. Now are we the children of God, says John. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what is the banner then? He's brought us into God through Christ has brought us into the banqueting house to enjoy this great feast. And the banner? Well, in days past, banners were common, especially when soldiers went to battle. Regiments and colours and insignia would have been a rallying point for the troops, as like a sign of authority. You don't see much banners these days. But these banners would have been easy to see in the distance. Well, the king leads, in the Song of Songs, the king leads his bride into the banqueting house and is declaring his love. Easy to see, out in the open. Now, if you love someone, the other person should love you back, should show it too. That applies to human love, but also for our love to Christ. Something has happened in this relationship in the Song of Songs, and she has to declare it. He's brought me into his banqueting house. We need to declare it. We need to acknowledge him before others and live and strive for him and seek to honour him in all that we do, to do his will. Remember, if you're in the banqueting house this morning, it's because of his love and it's all of grace. And if you know his blessings in your own life, then like the lover in the Song of Songs, you can't help but declare it. He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. We'll sing that chorus after we've received the bread and the cup. Let's remind ourselves of the words of the Apostle Paul as we come to the Lord's table. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would someone like to give thanks for the bread?
His mission, Lord, he came to die, Father. He came to die for sinful sinners, that they might be reconciled. And Lord, this morning, Father, we just want to praise and thank you, Lord, for all that you did for us at that place called Calvary. Thank you, Father, that it was for us he bled and died. Father, him right our sins, Lord, wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. God of my transgressions, hallelujah, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. But Father, he bore it all, Father. He suffered, he bled and died, that we might be redeemed. But thank you, Lord, that the grave could not hold him, Father. We thank you, Lord, that that day he rose again. And Father, thank you, Lord, that he saved me. I am coming back again. Lord, we thank you that one day he's coming again. Coming in bodily fashion, Father. Coming to redeem us. Coming to each one of us who trust in him, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning. And we just praise you, Father. And if you take the bread this morning, Father, and we are reminded, Father, of all that he did for us, let us praise him, Father. For we praise him in Jesus' wonderful name.
Amen.
In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray together and give thanks for the cup. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Christ came into the world to save sinners. We know in our hearts we are the chief of sinners. Cause us to examine our hearts this morning. We give ourselves afresh to you. Thank you for your love and your grace towards us. Thank you for sending Jesus. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that he offered up his life freely for sinners like us, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And thank you, the price has been paid for the sins of his people. The blood of Christ cleanses and purifies us from all sin and unrighteousness. As we take of this cup which speaks to us of the blood of Christ, may we receive it with a glad, thankful hearts, rejoicing in so great salvation and such a wonderful Saviour. It's in his name we pray this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time around the Lord's table. Strengthen us in our faith, we pray. Thank you that this feast is only till he come. Help us live our lives watching and waiting, living in the light of Christ's coming. So thank you for this time. Help us as we further worship you. We pray this morning, even so come, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this time around the Lord's table. Help us as we further worship you and hear what you have to say through your word this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as I said, we're going to sing a couple of verses then of that song, He Brought Me to His Banqueting House, and His Banner Over Me is Love. Quite simple. Let's rise and we'll sing together. Thank you. Now, as it's Christmas time, I've only got really one announcement, and that is that John Buchanan will be taking the service next week, in fact, next two Sundays. So John will be getting us set off for the new year. John will be taking the services next two Sundays. I suppose an advance announcement we can give as well is that at the end of January, Graham Mayer will be coming for the anniversary weekend. So do pray for him. It's something to pray about over these next few weeks. A reminder as well that as a church in January, we'll be going through the book of Galatians. We went through the book of Ephesians and the books of Ruth before Christmas. So I think there are still some Bible study booklets. You'll have to ask Norman. If you don't have a copy of the booklet, then you ask Norman and he'll help you with that. So, but if you can't make it to the Wednesday meetings, then do still take a booklet and read through the book of Galatians with us as the rest of as a church. Right, let's go once again to the Old Testament. Okay. Bye-bye. See you again. Okay. Okay, to the Old Testament then, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. There's another passage that we've heard over the Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to read the first seven verses. Isaiah chapter 9, reading from verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. The yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Every boot of the tramping warrior, the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. Let's sing another Christmas carol before we come to the passage this morning. This is O Come, Let Us Adore Him. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Let's rise and sing it together.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us afresh from your word, teach us by your spirit. And be glorified here in our midst this morning, we pray. Speak to us afresh from your word. May we know it was good to be here in the house of the Lord. Thank you for how you've guided us as a fellowship over 2024. And we pray that you'll continue to be with us and to guide us, Lord. Pray for further guidance in the days that lie ahead, God willing. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Well, of course, in the month of December, you're bombarded with all these songs on the radio and on CDs and whatever. I mentioned some of them on Tuesday night, didn't I? I wish it could be Christmas every day. And you think, a naughty holder, here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody's having fun. And John Lennon, war is over, if you want it. But hang on a minute, are all these sentiments true? Everybody's having fun. War is over? Certainly not. You know, you just only need to look at what's going on in the wider world, and you know that's not true. You get bombarded with images as well. Okay, you get all these songs with the upbeat messages, and you get bombarded with all these messages of the idyllic family lifestyle around the table, like the Bruins. Did you get the Bruins when you were younger? Okay, remember, and the Waltons. Do you remember the Waltons? Remember that program, Norman? Good night, John Boy. Remember? Yeah, you remember that? I thought you looked old enough. Okay. Well, you get all these images put here of ideal Christmas, an ideal Christmas time, but reality is very different, isn't it? Maybe Band-Aid got closer to the truth. There's a world outside your window. This is what it says. There's a world outside your window. It's a world of dread and fear, where the only water flowing is the bitter string of tear. And the Christmas bells that clang this time are the clanging chimes of doom. That's maybe closer to what really is going on in the wider world. We live in a world that is dark. The war is over if you want it. I don't think so. Look at the wars in the world today. Consider warfare, strife, violence, the riots that were seen on the news earlier this year. Poverty, illness and death, relationship breakdown, cruelty, corruption, injustice, and leaders that you don't know if you can trust or not, who are making great promises, but it's all ending in failure and disappointment. We're living in dark times. There's much darkness in the world today. The people of Isaiah's day also lived in dark days. Verse 2 of our passage, the people who speaks of the people who walked in darkness. There's much darkness in the world. What's the source? Man's ignorance and man's rebellion against God. And sin affects much of life. But sin affects as well out of ourselves. Sin affects ourselves. Jeremiah writes, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. There's much darkness in the world, much rebellion against God, the source of the darkness. Christians are called to shine. Shine in the darkness. Jesus said, let your light shine. You remember the old children's hymn? Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light. You remember those old green hymn books you used to get on a Sunday morning here? In the children's section, and you had this one, Jesus bids us shine. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. Sin and want and sorrow, that's the cause of the darkness. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. I'm not sure about the last lines of the song, though. You in your small corner and I in mine. Well, maybe certain people would go along with that, but we need to shine. And it's possible to do so. How can we do so in a dark world? Because of the one to whom Isaiah points forward to in this passage, the one who came that first Christmas. We live in dark days. The people of Isaiah's day lived in dark times, the people who walked in darkness. But the prophet reminds us of a light that shines in the darkness. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. I've seen a great light. Isaiah looks forward to a day when a great light will come into the world. It will be a time of rejoicing. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. It will be like a great harvest. Like a great harvest. As with joy at the harvest. Now remember, in those days, great harvests were not guaranteed. We'd maybe take great harvests for granted these days. Great harvests were not guaranteed at that time, in those days. It will also be like a victory in a battle. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. There will be the rejoicing. If you can think of the old footage that they sometimes show of the foot of the VE celebrations, victory in Europe, and you see the old black and white footage on the top of Buckingham Palace of the King and the Queen and Princess Elizabeth, of course, who became Queen, and her sister, and Winston Churchill, all there, and the crowds outside Buckingham Palace, all cheering and celebrating the defeat of the enemy. Think of the footage there. Think about, it'll be like that. It'll be something like that, a great rejoicing, victory in a battle. Actually, the battle that the prophet has in mind here in verse 4, it's Gideon's victory over the Midianites. Gideon's victory, it speaks about Midian there in verse 4. The prophet is looking back to Gideon's victory over the Midianites, which is recorded in Judges chapter 7. Let's be clear. The prophet is not glorifying war. He's thinking more of the joy of victory. Isaiah says there will be joy, not because of another Gideon, but because of the coming of a child. For to us a child is born. And a picture emerges. The light is a way of picturing a person. A triumphant royal figure who will win a greater victory. And that's confirmed in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 16. When verse 2 here, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, it's quoted as Jesus is beginning his ministry. Therefore, Isaiah is pointing forward to the coming of Christ. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. And it's possible to do so because of the one who came at Christmas, this Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah gives four descriptions of the child who would be born. Four descriptions which we're going to look at. Now, I've got to say this, that if you've got, in your Bible, depending on your translation that you're using, you might have five descriptions. If you're using the Authorized Version this morning, if you read that, you would have five descriptions because Wonderful and Counselor will be separated. This also happens if you've ever heard or seen Handel's Messiah, Wonderful and Counselor are separated. Wonderful and Counselor should actually go together. There's four descriptions then of the child who will be born, the one whose birth is celebrated at Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Let's consider who this child is. He's the Wonderful Counselor then. It goes together, the Wonderful Counselor. When he was born, Jesus would have looked like any other child. We sang it earlier, didn't we? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Everything about the salvation of mankind centered in him. The Hebrew actually translates that expression, Wonderful Counselor, as the wonder of a counselor. When you go into the Old Testament, the word wonder speaks of a work of God. Don't know if you're watching anybody sit through the Ten Commandments yesterday. It was being screened on TV again. It is, of course, quite a marvellous film, really, for the time it was made in the 1950s. Of course, you remember you can see the crossing of the Red Sea. It depicts the crossing of the Red Sea. It's quite amazing how they do it with the technology they would have had at that time. But in the scripture, following the crossing of the Red Sea, and you think of the Song of Moses afterwards. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome and in glorious deeds, doing wonders? A work of God. The psalmist in Psalm 136 says, to him who alone does great wonders. Psalm 139, the psalmist says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Isaiah uses the word himself to refer to God. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. He's the wonderful counselor. We can trust him. His instructions, his guidance, and his wisdom are wonderful. We can do more than trust him. We can rejoice in him. His word is wonderful. Later on in the scripture, Paul will speak of the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. He'll actually, here's what he says. 1 Corinthians 1, 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Who would have thought that God's plans for the redemption, for the salvation of mankind, would be centered around a baby in a manger? A baby in a manger. Even more, the baby in a manger would grow up and he'd offer up his life freely for sinners. God's plans for the salvation of the lost would center around the baby in the manger and indeed Christ crucified. We preach, says Paul, Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. This is the apparent weakness of the cross. But Paul says, he goes on to say, that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This wonderful counselor is wiser than any human wisdom. In God's wisdom, salvation was planned. Christ came into the world to save sinners. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given. He is the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us. He knows our hearts. And he knows everything. He knows the big picture. And he knows when to bless and when not to bless. He knows when to allow us to pass through trials and difficulties. He knows how to bring his plans and purposes to pass. We can always trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He is the wonderful counselor. Secondly, he's the mighty God. The mighty God. The weakness of God, says Paul, is stronger than men. Jesus is God, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. This is the miracle of Christmas. Paul says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. In another letter, Paul says in Galatians, which we're going to read over the next month, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law. And the child is fully man, but fully God. We can see it actually. Verse 6 declares that. For to us a child is born. Now that means he's fully man, but he's fully God. For to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Now, we read these words in Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says this, when I came to you, brothers, and when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So you see, Paul, his speech wasn't eloquent, and he came in fear and trembling. What made the difference? The divine power of the mighty God. That's what we need. We're preaching today, preaching backed up by the power of God. This is what was seen in the mighty, in the different revivals you can read about in history. You can get recordings, you can get different discs and whatever, and go on YouTube and find out about different revivals. The 18th century revival, the 1859 revival. You know where it started? Some say Northern Ireland, Aberdeen. 1859 revival. Fisherman's revival, over 100 years ago. More recent, the Lewis revival, the late 1940s, early 50s. The power of God is what made the difference. And you know, the power of God is also seen in every single conversion. You know, if you're a Christian this morning, it's just simply because of the grace and the power of God. It's all that we have, we owe to him. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Only God can do that. And he still can do it today. He can make a difference today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is God. He is the wonderful counselor and the mighty God. Now, thirdly, what else have we got here? He is the everlasting Father. Now, we have to take a moment to think about this one. The everlasting Father. All right. We believe in one God, but within the Godhead there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We sometimes, we refer to this, don't we, as the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each equal to each other, but each distinct from each other. Okay? Each distinct, fulfilling a distinct role. The Son is not the Father. God the Son is not the Father. God the Spirit is not God the Son or God the Father. But God the Son is not the Father. So how then is the Son that is to be born being described as the everlasting Father? How can Jesus be described as the everlasting Father? Well, everlasting Father translates as this, Father of eternity. Father of eternity. In Psalm 103, you read these words, that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And we're told here in Isaiah that in verse 7, we're told that of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. His government will be everlasting, and his rule will be like that of a father. Okay, so as a father has compassion on his children, so in this sense, Jesus is a father. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And finally, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This is real peace we're talking about here. Not war is over, if you want it. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one with plenty of cheer. War is over, if you want it. This is not the sentiment being expressed here in Isaiah. This is peace. This is the Hebrew shalom. Not just the absence of strife, but the presence of an inner peace. The peace that passes all understanding. An inner peace which makes a difference. The Christian is at peace with God, first of all, being justified by faith. Our relationship with God has been resolved. We're at peace with God if we're trusting in him. The Christian should also aim to live at peace with others. Psalmist writes, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Remember Paul Crowe just over a month ago? What did he preach on when he was here? Ephesians 4:32, forgiving each other. We have to live at peace, forgiving each other, just as Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. Well, we're guilty of that sometimes though, aren't we? We don't give the forgiveness that people deserve. We like to just hold them where they are and to cast it up to them. We shouldn't do that. Christians are to live at peace, in peace with others. It's a challenge if we don't offer forgiveness, then we're committing a serious sin against God. We need to examine our hearts there. It's a sermon all on its own, isn't it? Forgiving each other. Christ said, if you do not forgive men their sin, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sin. We're to live at peace with each other. We know peace with God. We're to live, to strive to live at peace with each other. The Christian also knows this, though, that there will be peace. There's no peace in the world today. We're hearing terrible stories of wars and conflicts, and as one war ends, another one rears its head. The Christian knows, however, that one day there will be peace. Here we have no continuing city. We're looking for the city that is to come. There will be peace, and that's when Jesus Christ returns again. A new perspective. The Christian has a new perspective, a new way of looking at the world. When things happen in the world, we shouldn't be alarmed or afraid. We should stay dressed in God and say, well, how are you working in the world? You're working out your plans and purposes. How is God working? Habakkuk looked at the trouble in his nation in his day. There was violence, there was strife, there was an imminent invasion from the Babylonians. Habakkuk eventually realized he had to rest in God. The just shall live by faith. And he would say, though the fig tree did not blossom, he would still trust in God. Though there wasn't a great harvest, though all things precious to him would be lost in the process, he would trust in God. He would lay it before him. He would lay it before him. So must we. But the Christian also experiences an inner peace. Paul says, the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I mentioned it at the table, there's peace with God, but there's also the assurance of his presence. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want, he leads me beside quiet waters. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. It's a gift of God, the inner blessing of the Prince of Peace. So the one who came at Christmas, unto us a child is born, this baby Jesus, the one who came at Christmas, see this morning that he makes a difference. Who is he? We've seen this morning he's the wonderful counselor, the wise counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father who will reign, and one who gives peace. Now with all that this morning, let me ask, first of all, are you trusting him? Do you know him? He left the glory of heaven and the wisdom of God and God's plan of salvation. He came to set people free from sin. He came to make people right with God. He came to give hope for eternity. He came to bring us back to God through the cross. That's God's wisdom. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? And now suffering has led to glory. He reigns on high. He is the Lord. One day his church will reign with him. You need to make your peace with him. You need to know this peace of God which passes all understanding, sins forgiven, hope now, hope for eternity. Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Turn and put your trust in him. And if you do, trust in him and believe in him, go forward. Rejoice over this Christmas time and go forward into the new year knowing you can trust him. Who can you trust in these days? Not many people, it seems, but you can trust him. you can trust him. Go forward knowing you can trust his wisdom. Go forward knowing he gives you hope for the future. Go forward knowing his peace and presence in your own life. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light. It was a dark time in Isaiah's day, dark days today, but may we shine in the darkness, trusting in his love and his grace. Amen. Amen. I hope we're all ready and raring to sing "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." Let's rise and sing together as we close this morning. Father, I thank you for this special time of the year. Bless us over the remainder of the Christmas period and indeed in days that lie ahead. Be with us throughout this day, Heavenly Father, and may we know your grace, mercy and peace, and help us to put our trust and faith in you at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.